Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Fake mustache, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low, this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the joint.
To the Crab Feast, y'all.
Can you feel it?
It's a Tuesday. Got another Crab Feast. Fold that ass. I think you heard somebody across from me just touching some goddamn pitches over there.
We hit that night.
That was a nice pitch. God, waited till the top to touch pitches with Jay Larson comedy over there. How you doing, Jay Larson?
What's
comedy?
Up, dude? I thought we were gonna bail for a second. I'm like, oh, we're not gonna. Then we got it. I'm like, oh god, this feels. It feels. You know where I feel it? Kind of up here in the chest area.
I feel it right there with you, man. All pitchy.
It felt good. I got all kinds of pitchy.
Touch my pitch.
What's up, buddy? It's good to be here. Always. Feastus, what's up? I'm all in L.A. Everybody knows that. Tonight I'll be at Holy Fuck at the Downtown Independent Theater. Thursday I'll be at the Hollywood Improv at 10. Friday I'll be at the Hollywood Hotel at 8. And Sunday I'll be at the West Side Comedy Theater on Neil Brennan's show at 8:45, 9 o'clock. So come check me out there. Jay Larson Comedy on Twitter. And everywhere else on the webs. Sickle Cell.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, ryansickler.com. I, too, will be at the Holy Fuck Show this evening. That was a nice little coincidence.
I was no a late addition to that.
I was going to say, I had no idea you were on the show.
God damn, is Lars on?
Tonight, the Holy Fuck Show downtown. I'll be at the Irvine Improv with Jay Moore May 31st through June 2nd. And Jay Larson Comedy and I will be doing a Crab Feast stand-up show at the Brea Improv. We already got a lot of you guys that have signed up to be on the guest list. We will admit we're comping all tickets. Everyone will get free tickets. Just email us one full name and the total number of tickets you need at crabfeastpodcast@gmail.com.
And full name doesn't mean Eric.
Yeah, we need a last name, Eric. For any and all information at crabfeast.com, you can go get your t-shirts, your women's shirts, your hoodies. Hit up the Amazon link as you always do. We got Pro Flowers over there.
Yeah, big time for Pro Flowers because you know what this weekend is, man. Well,
what's this weekend?
Sorry. It's Mother's Day.
Okay.
I'm going to be sending my mother some flowers for $19.99 because that's special. Yeah. So you can go through the Pro Flowers link on crabfeast.com, thecrabfeast.com.
The Crab Feast, that's right.
Or you can just go through Pro Flowers and put in crab as your promo code.
And while you're at thecrabfeast.com, make sure you sign up for the email list. A lot of you have. That's how you find out about all the stuff that we're doing, like new stuff. Like, we got a Facebook fan page.
And the Facebook fan page, you sent one out last week. I sent one out this week. People have been responding. We love it. Great to see it. You guys are awesome. Oh, there was fucking one on the page today that I thought was pretty funny. Now I forget it.
Go like the page if you don't use iTunes and all that. Get over there, like the page, post all over, and have fun with each other.
Have
we like
fun
seeing
with
y'all
it.
Make friends.
Yeah, we love
Feasters,
it.
That's nice. iTunes, if you're an iTunes listener, get over on the iTunes page. Give us a Fuck the Crab Feast 5-star rating. Stitcher.com/Crab Feast and the Zoom.
The Zoom, Zoom, Zoom. That's what it was. Someone else had a Zooner on there, and I can't remember. But I also want to say thanks, everybody, for the love on the Conan last night. I appreciate it. You guys are all sweethearts.
Killed.
And it was great hearing some people at the Meltdown show yelling out, fuck the Crab
Feast.
Yeah,
I was in the back watching.
Yeah, mixing it up. I love it.
We also now have an RSS feed on our website, thecrabfeast.com. So for you, those of you who don't have iTunes, that don't have the Stitcher, that don't have Zoom, that don't have this, just go to our website, click the RSS icon, little badge there, and then you can stream and listen to all episodes there. And also on thecrabfeast.com, if you want to listen to a specific episode, all current episodes have a link in their post that you can go listen to that episode. We will start backlogging and getting those links in all the old episodes as well. So we're doing everything you've asked, everything we can to get
make
you guys
it easier
to listen.
For you guys.
At this point, if you can't listen, you probably don't have fucking ears, or you're my cousin Gary.
Come on, Gary.
Come on, Gary.
He can't hear us. And I just want to say thanks again to everyone who is telling their friends to listen and now listening. Because more people hit us up being like, oh, my friend Tom told me, my sister told me. People hit me up like, my boyfriend forced me to to listen to this.
Forced.
And now they're like fans.
Now they're fans.
We got to hit up a dude on honeymoon. He's like sent a pic on Twitter. He's like, on my honeymoon.
On his honeymoon.
On the balcony, listening to Crab Feast. I'm like,
seeing all of you look good out there in your Feaster t-shirts, blasting it around. And this is a big month for us. It's a year anniversary for the Crab Feast. And it's been good working with you.
Oh, come on. Sickle cell.
So we have a very special guest today that we're excited to bring on. We've been fans for a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the Crab Feast for the first time, Mr. Jim Florentine, everybody. Jim Florentine, welcome to the Crab Feast. Jim Florentine.
Sounds like there's a lot of people in the room with that.
It is, man.
You guys got that down, man.
Dude, we're so excited to have you on here.
No, man, it's cool.
I don't want to suck your nuts, but been a fan for a long time, so we're very fired up to be here.
I appreciate
with
that,
you.
Man.
So,
a guy who gets it, man.
Yeah, totally gets it. And please, I'm sure if you don't know who the hell Jim Florentine is, get the hell out from under your rock. But will you please plug your Twitter and anything you'd like for the fans?
Well, I do a podcast too. It's called Comedy Metal Midgets. So it's on whatever you get on my website and all that shit. JimFlorentine.com.
Perfect.
I got nothing. And my Twitter is Mr. Jim Florentine.
Yeah, why Mr.? Is there a guy out there?
Yeah, it was originally when I signed up. There was a Jim Florentine, so I had to do Mr.
Do you know who he is or what he does?
No, I think he just did it to take it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like he was taking comics and guys and bands and shit. So, and then I just said, I don't give a shit. And then you can't use that, so I just like... Leave it. Just leave it at Mr. Who Cares. Like, perfect. I could probably go back and get the real name. But
why now?
What's the point?
Right. By the time that happens, Twitter's going to be over and it's going to be something else.
All right.
Enough of these fucking the Vine and Illa shit. Okay, you got to be on Vine. Why? In 2 weeks, it's going to be something else? What
do
about Flickr?
Vine?
No, I don't do that. Fuck that. You know, everyone's like, how are you not on Flickr? I don't know. A month later. Well, yeah, no, I don't use that anymore.
Enough. I never used Flickr photo sharing like Kodak or Drop, whatever.
Hell no. I'm protested Vine. I'm protesting.
Because you know what's in 6 weeks is going to be something 100 times better. That's going to be more. That's going to be 11 seconds instead of six.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
People go, you know what? I need 11 seconds, not six.
I need to double that shit up.
Yeah.
Listen, if you don't have what it takes to get something down in 6 seconds, we get it.
So you're originally from Jersey.
No, I just, it's too complicated.
I tell him all the time, 99% of Vines fucking suck. I haven't seen one where I'm like, that's excellent. He swears a guy down in Australia has got
it. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. Right. I'm sure there are. I'm sure there is. But I just...
this guy's... I mean, he's
the Spielberg of Vine.
He literally is, dude. He just does this thing where he takes a crayon to a table and draws across it and a carrot appears. You know what I mean? He's doing like stop animation with Vine.
So he's just tricking it out.
Yeah. I mean, it's different than like us goofballs that are just doing like little, you know.
I could barely send a text. I don't have time for that shit. I fucking Instagram. What now? I got to doctor up the fucking picture.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I gotta put vines around it and you know.
Vines.
Like, yeah, like a frame. Like it's my wedding album. Enough. Here's a picture. I took a picture of this fat guy in the airport. I'm like, look at his ass crack. I don't need to put a frame
around
it. Yeah, I don't need to put a little black and white and maybe a little color here. I don't have time for
sepia,
that.
Sepia, bro. You can't do a sepia tone?
No, I don't even know what that is. Like, here's the picture. Look at his ass crack.
That's that rust. Look, that is too funny, man. I'm with you. I there's way too much shit out there for people to get a hold of you, for people to figure out where the fuck you are, to contact you. Like, that's the one curse of the future. I'm not fired up so much about anybody.
You said the other day something about being stoked for the future.
I am. I'm bummed because the future is, it's all the shit that's happening like this. It's going to be fucking, it's going to be a crazy place in 100 years.
Well, you see what went on with the Boston bombers, when everybody had, you know, video of what was going on in the streets that the press never reported, like the cops pulling people out of the house, out of their own house, don't get out with machine guns, with their, you know, fucking grandmothers coming out with their hands on their head.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy stuff, just going house to house. It's like, we didn't see that. Everyone, they just said evacuate, but they, you know, we would have never saw that if someone wasn't filming and all that.
I know.
And then the shootout between the two bombers on the street and all that shit, this, you know.
It's crazy that we can't. I mean, I used to say the one thing that the cell phones in the future have, like, taken away from me is I always wanted to get a phone call at a restaurant. You know what I mean? I always wanted that.
Where
the maitre d' would come over and be like, Mr. Florentine, we got a call for you. I'm like, oh, excuse me, guys, I got a call.
From the back.
Now you just get like a text from your buddy like, where you at? And like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah, that is. That would have been nice.
It would be.
So I was trying to find out where you were from, and I don't know why the internet won't tell you, but you say you were from Jersey originally.
Yeah, from Jersey born.
How did you get your start in comedy? What was it?
I started doing radio. I wanted to be a DJ on the radio. I was DJing like rock clubs and
what with that voice, dude. Jesus.
Hell yeah!
And I was a big metalhead and shit like that. So there was a bunch of like metal clubs around. So I was doing that, and I went to school for it, you know, college, and I was on like the local college station. And
what school?
And it was a community college in
hell
Jersey,
yeah, it
Brookdale,
was
Brookdale Community College.
Brookdale,
it's not Brookdale CC.
BCC, it was fucking great.
BCC, I love it. Yeah. I went to CCC, so.
Because, you know, I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So, like, oh, I'm not going to go for you. Plus, I didn't have the grades. I don't even know if I took the SATs at that time. I just cheated my way through everything. I could care less.
I did a college the other day, and I asked some kid, I'm like, how you doing in school? And he's like, all right. I'm like, what'd you get in your SATs? He's like, we don't take SATs. I'm like, what do you take? He's like, we take CTAs or some shit like that. And I go, what'd you get? He's like, I got 31. And the whole room's like, damn. And that's I go, what's the high score? And they're like, 35. I'm like, Jesus, dude. But they don't even have SATs anymore.
I don't know what's going on with that. But I just went and then I started DJing on the radio, and then basically I wasn't trying to be like a Howard Stern or anything like that, but they were like, you can't crack jokes in between the songs. You have 15 seconds to say the weather and the time and then just move on and just go, you know, which, I'm like, I just want to throw something in real quick. It wasn't dirty or anything. And like, no. And then they would call, you can't say that. Like, I would just make a goofy joke. It wasn't even edgy. And then I was just like, you know what, man, this sucks. I can't be like, I can't listen to people. I'm not good at listening to people. And then I remember fucking, I was cutting lawns during the day. I had nothing to fall back on. And I remember like a Friday night, I fucking turn at HBO and I see Dice doing that 7 minutes in that Dangerfield special with the cigarette and the leather jacket. And then Kinison was right behind him. And then
what
Dice,
a special.
And then
was.
Dice does the hour special. Yeah. And, you know, and he's got, you know, his opening line is like, I got my tongue in this chick's ass. I'm like, that's what I want to do the rest of my life.
Tight.
Yeah, that was it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it took me another year to actually get on stage, get the balls to get up on stage.
Yeah.
But once I did, that was like, that's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Even though I bombed like the first, you know, 20 times.
I saw Dice at the Capitol. Well, it was called the Capitol Center back then in D.C., and he sold the fucking place out, and it was unbelievable. I've still never seen anything like that, a comic hitting it like that.
It was because everybody knew his jokes. And,
Reciting it out loud. I mean, a stadium of people, fucking Dirty Nursery Rhymes back. It was awesome.
My first spot at the Comedy Store, when I got passed, I was like into comedy 3 years. I got passed at the Comedy Store. I'm stoked. It's my first set, paid regular at the Comedy Store. And I roll up there. I'm like, I can't wait. My friend Katie was like a cocktail waitress. And she's like, Jay, she's from Boston. She's like, she's got a hardcore accent. She's like, Jay, here's the deal. Dice is here and he's going to bump you. I'm going to talk to him. Okay. I'm going to talk to him. And I'm like, all right. So I'm sitting there sweating. I'm like, oh man, it's my first time. And I figured Dice is going to come and do like 40, you know? So she's like, you're good to go. But then I had to bring Dice up.
Right.
You know what I mean? My first time ever at the Comedy Store. It was kind of like surreal. I'm bringing up Andrew Dice Clay, who's I used to recite all the time as a kid.
Oh yeah.
And then she got the, you know, like the list of like comics for the night. And she's like, I'm going to get Dice to sign it for you. I'm like, all right. And it just said, hey, Jay, you're an asshole. Andrew Dice Clay.
Beautiful.
I was like, That's sweet. Yeah.
That's his way of showing affection.
Hell yeah. That's what,
if you could call
our fans. Yeah. When people start saying fuck Jim Florentine, it's love. It's not hate.
Well, I was,
the whole
I remember,
fuck the crab feast thing they've got going on out there.
There was a comedy club down in Florida, in like Fort Lauderdale, that was like, it was called the Comic Strip, and they used to only have clean comics there. And somehow I got in there. I knew like the headliner guy at the time. So I was just doing like 10 minutes. And I was dirty, but I would just clean it up for 10. So anyway, Dice is in town. I guess he's on vacation with his family. Mm-hmm. So his manager calls over to Comic Strip, say, hey, Andrew Dice Clay's in town. He wants to come by and do a set. And the club owners are like, no, this is a clean club, and we have a big private party coming in. It's a big company. And he's like, no. He's working on a whole clean set. He was already famous. And like, well, seriously, he can't do it. They go, don't worry. It's going to be, he's just going to do 10 minutes. He'll be clean. Of course, he goes in, does an hour, completely filthy. And the crowd loved it, of course. Dice walks on. And then, he signed a picture for a headshot, and he just put, thanks, you fucking assholes, you fucking pieces of shit for giving me the fucking, you know, everything was a complete curse, and it was right, it hung right over the door. It was beautiful. I'm great, like, I love that guy.
That's great.
For sure.
What were you like growing up high school? I mean, did you get arrested? Were you in trouble? What were you like?
Were you
troubled youth?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cause you know, I went to Catholic school, so it was just fucking
mowing lawns for a living.
Yeah.
Just
I figured that you never do strip clubs with that voice.
I did DJ in a strip club, yeah. but that was before when you didn't have to talk on the mic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you like were just music
yeah,
only.
I was just playing the music only, yeah. but then the chicks never gave you tips. Like, I got out of it before these guys would make like $400 in a night. Yeah. I was getting like $50 or $75 a shift.
Otherwise, that might have been the career. Yeah.
I know. I would have done that. If I was getting $400 cash, they bring in their friggin' songs or whatever. Like, I'll play this shit. I don't care. And they tipped because the DJ gets tipped out at the end of the night. Yeah, they got to give them like $30-$40 yeah. a pop between all the dances. But no, once in a while, a chick would throw them like $5 or a couple bucks, but that was it. But I did that for a little while, a strip club thing. But
is that where like DJ started out? I mean, where else were guys DJing outside of like you could do radio, strip clubs, or what?
Well, like a rock club too. Like, you know, rock, you know, yeah. there was like a rock club right by my house. So like they
you'd
like,
do that like before bands?
Yeah.
Oh, and you bring
in between
up?
The bands too. Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. So I just play some metal, a hard rock, and then you know, the band I'd introduce the band from the DJ booth and just play the rest
Did you
of the
play
night.
Any instruments? Did
Never,
you?
No. no. I always wanted to. All my friends were in bands and the chicks they were pulling was unbelievable.
That's true.
And,
dude.
And that's the only reason
they had,
why.
Thought they had topless why? In a barn fucking watching a band. We used to see it all the time. Like, what are you doing?
I know. These guys, yes. Yeah, because so, I lived down in Florida after like my sophomore year. My dad decided to move the family to Florida. And because I was so out of control in school, it was probably better.
Yeah, that's
I
where we went to jail. Going. Yes, all right.
I probably was. So he threw me in like the strict Catholic school down in Florida, and I became friends with these guys in bands. And the chicks would just come by the warehouse that was like 150 degrees, these fucking tens, and would sit there. I'm like, are you kidding me?
tens.
And, they'd be bringing the beer and all the food for them because they didn't have any money. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
What is this?
I'm like, they're getting pussy, and they're not paying for any. They're not paying even for beer.
Yeah,
or sandwiches or food or anything like that. So I was like, I would just follow those guys around. I'm like, and I tried to play any inch. I was a lefty too, so
give me that clarinet.
Well, yeah, all my friends are like, I play righty. I fucking turn the guitar around. Like, I can't. I can only jerk off righty. I can't do anything else righty. So nobody taught me, and I just didn't. I don't have the ear for music. I mean, I even went one time for singing lessons. I'm like, if I'm a singer in a band, the pussy I'll get. And I went one time, and the lady actually said at the end, she goes, look, you just don't have it. So she goes, I don't want to waste your time.
Up.
Or your money. You know, usually they just string you along for like a year. Yeah, no, you got something.
You got something special.
She told me. I was like, all right, good. At least you were honest with me.
That's true.
Yeah. So it only cost me $40, and no, I couldn't sing.
Hilarious. Where did you get your love for metal? Like Florida when you met these guys? Was it before that? Like what got you into metal?
My older
so
brothers.
Much?
I had two older brothers that were like 4 and 5 years mm-hmm. older than me. So they were just
three of you guys?
Yeah, just 7 of us total.
Damn.
In the family, yeah.
And were they just pumping you with what?
Yeah, because they were into
Sabbath
like Sabbath,
earlier?
AC/DC, Judas Priest, Ted Nugent, you know, that kind of stuff. So they just got me in there. They were just cranking it all the time. So I would just be, you know, okay, you know, drive around in their car. They were 17. I was like 12.
Yeah.
Just cranking, you know, because that was when you had, you know, you paid $600 for your stereo and $300 for the car. Yeah. You know,
How can you not get in trouble when you're 12, your brother's 17, just cruising you around?
Yeah, well, my mom's like, all right, as long as he's with the older, you know, the older brothers, he should be okay. Meanwhile, they're passing a joint back to me driving around.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't tell mom. Like, I'm not going to fucking tell her.
People in Baltimore loved radio so much. Everywhere. They invented the goddamn, you could slide it out and carry the goddamn thing with you.
Oh, really? Like the blah punks?
Yeah, I mean, they weren't, not just Baltimore. I'm just saying it was very popular to steal car stereos in Baltimore. So you had, then it became detachable faces. You would just take the face with you.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, they wouldn't steal your car. They would just bust the window and take your fucking Alpine or Kenwood or whatever the hell you had.
That was the
you would carry it with you.
Remember that when you would carry the faceplate? Like that was like people put their cell phone down on the table when you go to dinner. Like people have their like, you know. And then
I had the case too. I had to put it in the case.
Right,
yeah, exactly.
That's
right. Yeah, because then you also had the power booster, which made the stereo even louder, but you would try to bolt that under the seat.
Yep.
So if someone broke in, they're like, all right, I'm not going to take these bolts off. I'll just take the stereo.
Fucking crazy for car radios, man.
I know. We cruise around like cranking Judas Priest, you know, and by these girls thinking that they would be like, oh, this guy's a cool. Let's go hang out with him. Like, get the fuck, you guys fucking, you know, in a shitty duster. And thinking that they wanted to jump in the car with us and drink wine coolers with us, and they wanted nothing to do with us. They didn't give a shit.
No.
What was your first concert?
It was Van Halen and Black Sabbath at the Garden, which when Van Halen's first album came out, and with Black Sabbath's last tour with Ozzy,
damn,
was 78.
That's a good
wow.
one.
Yeah.
At Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, at the Garden.
Just the two of them?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That was fantastic. Yeah.
And how old were you?
14. 14 or 12. Oh, yeah. But yeah, and then, smoking pot the whole time.
Did they take you?
Yeah.
Your brothers? Oh, that's great.
That's sick.
Yeah, it was great. They would take me all the shows. And
I know I've told this story before, but I'll make it fast. My first concert, I have a twin brother, fraternal twin brother. We convinced our parents to let us go with another friend. The three of us are in seventh grade. And we loved Ozzy Osbourne, loved Ozzy, loved Sabbath, Kiss, ACD, all of it. And he was coming to Meriwether Post Pavilion in Columbia, Maryland. And we're like, please, can we please just go? And the one kid, our friend Jason, he was a little off, and so were his parents. And they were like, well, we're going to let Jason go. So we figure the three of them together, I'll drop them off, we'll let them just go into the concert, they come right back to the car, I'll wait, pick them up. So they say yes. We go to fucking see Ozzy Osbourne on the Ultimate Sin Tour, and opening for him is Metallica, Master of Puppets, Cliff Burton.
Right, that's right, yeah.
And Hetfield had a broken arm from skateboarding, so they had some guy in the back. Could have been you if you learned to play the guitar. Yeah, that could have been you. Florentine, right there.
That Florentine in the back!
I'm like, look at Jim Florentine shredding.
It was one of the roadies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The guy was out there tuning it before they started.
Yeah.
That was my first concert. It was awesome. I had an early love for that kind of metal too. I was so into shit. I was Ace Frehley back to back years for Halloween one year. My brother was Gene Simmons.
Ran it back
hell
this
yeah.
next year, huh?
Yep. If I went to a carnival and they were painting a face, I was getting Kiss. Everybody else was getting clowns and shit. I'm like, put Ace Frehley on my face. They're like, who's that? I'm like, get out of my fucking face right now with this shit. Ace Frehley.
Wow. Then
we'll do a cat. I'm like, I don't want to be Peter Criss.
No, Ozzy was I was the biggest Ozzy fan. I mean, I met him when he left Black Sabbath and he started his own band, the solo thing. He would do all his record store appearances as he's trying to get his name back out there because he really was, he's playing like 1,000 seats maybe after, going from 20,000 with Sabbath.
Yeah.
Sabbath was already established with Ronnie James Dio. They already had their record. So,
right. So
down in Florida, he would like do all these record stores. And I went to like four shows in a row. So I'd go to the record store and meet him and stuff. I remember.
Oh, it wasn't just a meet and greet? He would
sign stuff. No. Oh. He would just sign. Yeah. Okay. He would do a signing and you would get a picture with him.
I don't see him doing acoustic.
No, he definitely wasn't. But I made him sign Ozzy on my knuckles,
the
Black Magic marker, and I didn't wash it for like 3 weeks. I put a bag over it and I went to take a shower.
Dude,
it was the greatest thing. And I was like,
how old were you?
I was like 16 or 15.
I got egg poisoning.
And I went to like this really ritzy Catholic snobby school, like almost like a Beverly Hills 90210 in Florida. Mm-hmm. They all hated me. I had long hair. I liked heavy metal, and they were all these fucking rich preppy.
You're a Jersey kid too.
Yeah, I was the BMWs and Mercedes. I had a little shitty beat up Volkswagen, which on the eighth day, God created Black Sabbath, a bumper sticker.
You were Kevin Bacon and Footloose.
Yeah, exactly. And AC/DC. And I'm walking in with this Ozzy thing. I'm like, look, and they're like, look. Fucking weird. Who was Ozzy? They didn't know who Ozzy was.
They probably shit when they found out who the fuck he was. Those people back then, man, they just thought he was seriously the devil.
And even that's when it was real. That's
wasn't that what he was doing? Like that was a selling point.
Was the whole Black Sabbath?
He
they
bit the head off a dove.
Yeah, dove.
A bird in the middle of a record the record listening party, like for his album. In front of all these executives.
A dove, no less. The
sign you know what happened was
he
brought it in a paper bag. And he was with Sharon at the time. Mm-hmm. And he said, and Sharon goes, Ozzy goes, you know what? As soon as they start playing a record, he goes, why don't we let the doves out of the bag and let them fly around? That'd be cool. So that was the plan. And then he opened the bag halfway through and only one flew out. The other one died in the bag. So he dumped it on the table and was like, oh, and it was dead. And Ozzy's like, oh, and he just bit the head off right in front of everybody.
Jesus.
He's like, I didn't plan it, but I was like, what was I going to do?
Yeah.
I don't know. You probably didn't have to.
That's usually everybody's first thought. Yeah. I should just bite this head off.
The last thing, last thought is drop the bird on the table, and that's where that shit ends. Like, look, this bird's dead.
I would have, like, maybe bit, like, a little cloth and then just scratched my face, like,
yeah.
Get people fired
up. I just had a conversation today. People were asking me who my top five guitarists were. I'm a Hendrix super freak, but... I think he's one of the most underrated and always forgotten about is Randy Rhoads.
Absolutely.
I thought Randy Rhoads was fantastic, and I never hear him put in even I don't know. I don't hear a lot of people include him in top 10. You hear the Pages and the Claptons and the Becks and, you know, Hendrix and Townsend and all these people, but everyone forgets about Randy
I think because he didn't have a big career.
Yeah.
You know, he only played on the two Ozzy records and a couple mm-hmm. Quiet Riot ones. So I think that's why, because he was so young. I think at 25 is...
Yeah. Do you know the story? Mm-mm. What happened to him?
Which I was going to see him in like four days, because it was down in Florida, actually, and I was going to see him.
That's where the accident happened?
Yeah, it was in right outside of Orlando. Yeah.
So I think Ozzy was... Randy was in the plane, right?
Yeah, they were the tour bus driver like mm-hmm. pulled up at like 6 a.m. at this little local airport outside Orlando, and he was all coked up. He was drunk. They didn't know. It was like 6 a.m. He's like, "Hey man, I got my pilot's license. Who wants to go up in a plane?" And he's waking everybody up and like, "Come on, Ozzy, let me take you up in a plane." He's like, "No, man, I'm sleeping." Like, so he's trying to convince everybody.
Even Ozzy needed a time out, you know.
Yeah, so Randy, his guitar player, goes, "All right, I'll go up for a spin." And the hairdresser went up for the band, and I think that was it.
That's right.
And then the driver. And he was the bus was actually on the runway of this little airport, just parked there. So he's whizzing by the bus, like doing stunts, mm-hmm. like going really close to it. Like, you know, I'm fucking around. I'm scaring those guys in there. And like the third time he went down, one of the wings clipped the top of the bus, ripped the whole top of the bus off. The plane freaking flipped over like 17 Damn. Times into a house and burst into flames.
Killed everybody
on the plane. No one on the bus got hurt, but the whole roof got ripped off.
Tuna can, dude.
Damn. Yeah.
And the guy was all, you know, he was all coked up. They found mm-hmm. a bunch of coke and hammered it. They didn't know.
Right.
You know, because they weren't up. So he was doing that shit all night and stuff. So, and the guy was, you know, he was amazing. I mean, he was going to be the next Eddie Van Halen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Classically trained. I think his brother lives here in the Valley and I want to say gives lessons.
Probably.
Yeah. He was bad.
I met him a couple times because when I saw Ozzy back in the day, I'd hang outside the venue. I was the biggest stalker. I'd get to the venue at like 3 p.m. I'd just stand out there and wait for them to pull up because I knew they had to do a sound check, so they'd pull up in taxis. At one point, because they did like 3 nights in a row at one place, like, "You here again?" Like fucking Rudy Sarzo, Randy Rhoads, Tommy All. I didn't see Ozzy because Ozzy wouldn't do the sound checks. But then they'd be like, "You're here again, dude? Don't you have school?" I'm like, "Fuck, I blew it off."
Shut. That is awesome, dude.
Yeah. I walked there.
It
was 3 miles from my house. And I just told my mom, I said, "Look, I'll do extra homework. I'll do whatever. But I'm not going to school those 3 days in a row because I'm going to the venue early." And she's like, "Well, how are you going to get there?" Because I didn't even drive yet. I go, "I'll walk." So I walked like 3 miles on a highway every day to go see the show.
She's like, "Well, he's got passion. He's got passion."
She hated it because she was really super religious, and Ozzy was like the devil.
Right.
His first album, he's holding a cross, and the second one, and he bit a bat's head off on stage.
Dire of a bad man. That what he says was an accident too.
It was because he didn't think it was real.
Threw it. He thought it was fake.
He thought it was rubber, so he picked it up and he bit it because he's like, "I'm in the moment. I got all this adrenaline. I picked it up and I bit it."
So now he's got two heads bitten off.
I want to have a 1-on-1 interview with the dude that brought the bat. You know what I mean? Like, what's going through your head? I just thought bat would be a good play.
Called it outside. We were waiting in line.
What happened after that? People were like bringing goats' heads in and pigs' heads, and they were throwing them on the stage after that. They thought it was like, "All right, Ozzy will probably do this too." Yeah,
he likes animal heads.
Yeah.
Jesus,
that's fucking ridiculous.
Going through security, they're like, "Well, what is that, man? You got a gun now?
You going to see Ozzy?
It's a pig's head, man.
Come up. You got your own lane. Fucking bringing a goddamn goat's head."
But Rudy Sarzo said, you know, like in the hotels, remember they used to have the ice machines, and the door was like almost to the floor, mm-hmm. and you'd have to bend over to get the ice. Ozzy was such a prankster on the road, so what he would do when they go to the hotels, he would shit in the ice. Ice machine. He swears, Rudy, that to this day, that's why the ice is up high, and they got that whole like fucking a metal bar over it. So he would shit in every ice cream. He would hold it in all day, thinking it's the funniest thing. And then he also said, because they would stay in real nice hotels, like Four Seasons, you know, and like the rich guys leave their shoes out to get them outside the door to get them buffed. He would shit in their shoes. And he said, he'd be in the door across it. He goes, and he would wait all night just to see the reaction. He goes, he'd be up all night just to see the guy go, "What the fuck?" You know, or whoever was picking it up, and he would shit in their shoes.
I love that we're deeming him a prankster for dropping shits in ice machines.
And people's shoes. Could you imagine?
Shoes? Yeah, that's fucking...
The first guy that sees is the guy that's going to clean the fucking thing.
That shoe got to be worth something, though. If Ozzy shit in my shoe, I'd be on my shelf in my office.
So, I mean, what did you do, like, as a kid in high school to entertain yourself? Like, everybody you talk to always says there was nothing to do in our town. So, what, you know, you create your own shit. Like, we drove around the mall and shit and just got fucked around in cars and stuff. What do you
In Florida, I didn't have too many friends. I didn't know anybody when we moved down there. So I met those couple guys in band, so I would just hang out with them. But freshman and sophomore year in high school is where I grew up in the town of Jersey, and we were just, you know, not going to school, playing card games. We had card games where, seriously, they were like $300. We'd lose like $300, and we were making like $4 an hour at the fucking Burger King.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because we'd play. Yeah, we just, the stakes get higher and higher and shit like that. And then I'd give my dad's Playboy. That was like $10.
Yeah.
We'd get food from our refrigerator, like a bag of chips was $8. Food, yeah, exactly, because our parents weren't home. They were working, so we'd stay home from school. We'd cut school early and just go home and start playing cards and start drinking beers, smoking cigarettes. We were out of control.
That's fantastic.
Smoking pot constantly.
Pot. I love it.
We'd walk to the 7-Eleven like 3 miles away, like on Friday night. And we knew the person.
How old are you? Like 14, 15?
Yeah, about 14, 15. Okay. And we go buy Hustler magazines. You know, and then we just go in the woods and look at them.
Hidden behind that little brown thing at 7-Eleven. Like, I can't really see that one back there. I'm going to gamble and take that out.
But we put a bunch of shit on the counter because they thought maybe you were buying stuff for the family. Like, we throw bologna on
the
there.
The fam. Dad said, pick up the hustle.
Yeah, and we're all fucking stone walking in there. Like, we're coming in with this plan. All right, that fucking guy's looking at us. He goes, no, we're not 17.
Get bologna.
Yeah, so we do bologna and, like, Gatorade. Legit. Yeah. And, like, you know, some aspirin or something like that with the hustler.
And then a hustler.
And then they wouldn't question you. And they're like, shit, what are we going to do with this shit? So we just chucked the fucking aspirin and, all right, let's go fucking look at the dirty magazines.
Kept the bologna, though.
Yeah, we probably ate the bologna on the way. Bologna. We were fucking high.
Did you play sports at all?
Yeah, I did. I was pretty good at baseball for a while, but then I got into music and I got into drinking and smoking.
Yeah.
Freshman year, I was starting on the varsity squad.
Damn, that's nice.
Yeah, and then by the sophomore year, I just, you know, got into music and fucking smoking pot and drinking on the weekends, and that was it. Yeah.
Like, fuck this curveball.
Yeah, and then I just I was done. I wish I would have stuck it out. I wouldn't have made the pros or anything like that, but.
You never know, bro.
I don't know. I mean, I was a lefty. I could pitch.
There
I was
it
a
is.
Pretty good pitcher as a lefty.
There it is.
And I could hit, but.
If you, well,
it actually,
bro.
I'll tell you though, it helped my comedy career later because I couldn't get any clubs in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
All the clubs, you know, was like, because I was from Jersey, so they thought, you know, oh, this guy's from Jersey, they can't be funny.
Really?
Oh yeah, it was brutal back then. You know, when I, like, in the early 90s, you know, it was like, oh, if you're from Jersey, you're white trash, you're not, you know, they wanted guys like to do like monologue jokes, like the nerdy guy. Yeah. They
it's
wanted
so
that
funny
shit.
How comedy like takes its, like, it evolves and turns into different things and goes through phases, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's so anyone outside of that was a little rough around the edges. They wanted nothing to do with. So, but the comic strip in New York City had a softball team and they were always terrible. They were like 1-15 every year. So all of a sudden,
who would they beat?
I don't even know. Like, could they play other actors, like league or something like that?
They beat like some musical team.
Yeah. Exactly. And
Les Mis.
Yeah, like Jerry Seinfeld was the shortstop. He's probably not going to be that good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Dennis Wolfberg was at third, and Wolfberg was a great comic. I don't know if you guys remember him, but
I do. I totally do. Yeah.
I don't even think he could reach first.
Yeah, he ain't knocking shit down. No.
And the club owner there was like, that was his whole life, was that softball team.
Mm-hmm.
He always wanted to be good. And all of a sudden, me and this other comic, Eric McMahon, who's from Jersey, we started hanging out at the comic strip, just hanging there. The guy wouldn't put us on stage. His name was Lucian. He wanted nothing to do with us. And then we told him we play softball. He's like, really? He's like, and you guys, all right, well, you know,
that
come down to
end,
practice.
Huh?
Yeah.
Practice.
Yeah. So we go to one practice and he starts us like the first game. I went 4-for-5. McMahon went 5-for-5. We beat like the defending champs like 14-2. The next day he's like, oh my. And next thing I know, he's
stage
like,
time.
Good Florida team, 20 minutes tonight.
No, but what happened was you had to work at the club. Like, you couldn't have ringers on the team. So you had to be working at the, you know.
Oh, okay. You had to
by the third game, we were 3-0. He was out of his mind. He's like, that's all he talked about. Like, he wouldn't even talk about comedy anymore. My team, holy shit, these guys. So he goes, all right, look, I need to look at you guys because, you know, you guys need to work at the club technically. Ugh. So he saw my set, he watched from the office, and I just remember him. I'll never forget, he's like, well, he goes, your jokes are very lowbrow. He goes, you got jokes that when guys are in a locker room, they nudge each other afterwards. He goes, that's kind of, he goes, I don't like it. I don't think they're funny. He goes, but you know what? Your voice needs to be heard in the club. Kinnison
and
started.
And you went 4-4 today.
You bet 7-8.
Yeah, I know. Damn, just tell me. I don't care. You know? He goes, Kinnison and Dice started here. I put them all the way at the end of the show, the last spot at like 11:30. He goes, so that's the spot you're going to get. And but also there's prom shows. Like, they used to have prom.
Yeah.
He goes, so the kids will probably like your immature third grade joke, so you're passed. And then, like, 2 weeks later, like, MTV was looking for new comedians, and I got on the audition, and I got a show on MTV, like, do a comedy, and then I got a college agent, and shit started taking off.
Was that comedy related to music, that MTV show?
No, it was just, they were looking for new stand-ups.
That's sick.
So, because I hit a softball, because I knew I had a hit,
yeah.
that's how I got in the club, and then I got in other clubs and shit like that.
Softball got you on MTV.
It was, it was about, like, 780. Come on.
You
better put me on at 8:30.
Hell yeah.
It was an 0-2 count. I fucking slapped a double left field and cleared the bases, and we won.
I love it, dude. That's hilarious.
Too bad they didn't get to have the MTV Celebrity Softball game back then.
Yeah, Rock and Jock.
Yeah, you
Rock and Jock.
Get drafted
right
up to that. Like,
or,
you can't even play on the comic strip team anymore.
Yeah, that would have been nice. But so that definitely helped me. But, you know, I did fuck up by... You know, when you get like 14 or 15, and I didn't get laid till I was 18, but just when you start getting into chicks and looking at dirty magazines and drinking and smoking pot, it's like there's nothing better than that.
Nothing.
It's the greatest.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, so I was like, well, I don't want to fucking go to practice.
No.
Throw a ball in the backyard and warm up and all that
warm
shit.
Warm up.
Like, you got to go
loose,
warm
I'm
up.
Baked right now.
I'm running wind sprints.
I want to get
high. Exactly. I've started smoking pot. I'm smoking cigarettes.
Warm it up. That is killing me.
That's like the dude at Fast Times, right? Wasn't that Fast Times?
Yeah.
The kid who was like the quarterback and he was like a stud, but he just wanted to get baked and hang out with McConaughey.
Yeah.
Is that Fast Times?
Not McConaughey. Fast Times is Sean Penn.
All right, then that what's the one I'm talking about?
The other
the same one that's like the
Dazed
coming of age story.
Days Confused. Confused. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's fucking hilarious. Are you close with your older brother still?
Yeah, yeah. We all pretty much live in the same area and
you do
and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
And there's seven of you guys, so they're all there?
Yep.
Yeah, not all boys, though.
No, four boys, three girls.
Right. Are you the youngest?
Right in the middle.
You're in the middle?
Yeah.
Did your brothers fuck with you at all, torture you?
Not too much.
No.
Torture.
They were cool brothers.
I tortured my sisters and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah,
see,
I would always... do that, but no, it wasn't that bad. Actually, we tortured everybody else in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So when
blew up their mailbox with Blockbusters and M80s and shit like that.
Yeah, we used to blow up mailbox.
Put a dead fish in this guy's air conditioning unit.
Oh, see, that's a good one. Stumped the whole house up.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, the guy still fucking gets me. He came to my comedy show like 3 years ago. He lives in Florida now, and he was yelling at me.
Really?
Like 30 years later. I'm like, dude, I was fucking 12.
He's still pissed?
Still pissed. He's like, our fucking house stunk for the whole summer of fish. We didn't find out till like July. We put it in there like Memorial Day weekend.
Did you comp his tickets to that show at
fuck
least?
No.
No.
He was an asshole. I forget what
CDs.
He did. I blew up his mailbox, too, with a Blockbuster one time. I went back the next morning. It was just a stick there.
Isn't that amazing? We used to take him. There was this one guy. We used to single him out all the time, and everyone would do it. And we would take M80s, and, I mean, it would blow the aluminum mailbox with the flag. It would blow the sides off and the back out. And we would do it, and then we'd wait for them to replace it. And as soon as they had a new one, we were blowing it again and blowing it again. And finally, they got sick of it, and they took a 5-gallon white bucket and just nailed it to a piece of wood and just left that as their mailbox.
That's right.
And we would throw it in there. That thing would be boom, but it wouldn't blow that thing apart at all. No, man. That bucket held. That bucket held.
Yeah, it's, you know, what else are you going to do?
That's it, man. They figured it out. It took them a long time. We were like, damn, that's pretty good right there. It would just knock it down at that point, and then they would just pick it back up.
Yeah.
They won. That's funny. Have you been arrested?
No, never been arrested.
Nice
never
work.
That's
no.
Good work. I never.
I would just assumed.
No, for some reason I got away with this shit. Yeah, yeah. Just you know, like the shit I did in that earlier in life, I'd probably been in jail for probably 3 to 5 years. You know, to some because you know you. You got in a fight with somebody now, you get fucking, you know, you can go to jail yeah. for assault and stuff like that. You can go to wait for like 3 years.
Just you seriously
even shit
yeah.
like that, you know?
Yeah. Street fighting. I mean,
we used to throw snowballs at like the buses when they're coming packed. Like we'd stand in front of the buses. He's doing like 30 miles and throw it at the windshield. And the guy'd be like, whoa, like almost going like fucking overturning and shit like that. We'd throw apples. We'd always be like hide in the woods and throw rotten apples. We knew when the bus was coming, like the older kids.
Just bombard.
And the, yeah, and the windows would be open and we'd fucking be firing these rotten apples in and shit.
Jesus.
Yeah. We're nuts. And then throwing snowballs at cars. I mean, you realize how dangerous that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, just driving like 40 miles an hour and all of a sudden, boom, boom. You're like, holy shit.
Scares the hell out of me. My cousin and I, we were in Baltimore. I was at their house for Thanksgiving one night and we walked up. It snowed, which is, it doesn't snow often in Baltimore on Thanksgiving, but that night it did. And just the two of us, I have two brothers. He's got a brother and sister, but the two of us were like, let's just go outside. We'll go fuck around, throw some snowballs at cars. So we sneak out and we get up on the overpass and cars are coming on and we're packing them. It was that good wet pack
yeah,
snow.
Yeah, those are good ones.
And this city bus comes and their windshields are like the size of a wall. And we just pop, pop, pop. And this guy fucking locked it up. Bus started turning sideways. We were like, holy shit.
Yeah.
We hauled ass back to that little row. We got in. My grandmother and her sister are up. And they're like, what's going on? We're like, nothing. Put the news on. And they were like, why do you guys want to watch the news so bad? We watched the shit out of the news. I guess he pulled out of it. But that shit, we were like, fuck. That's when I was like, oh, my God, other people on the bus. Like, it didn't even register.
Because especially if you're throwing it over an overpass.
Yes.
As they're coming like 50 yes. miles an hour.
I mean, it pop, pop, pop on yeah. his windshield. Yeah, I would have killed us.
I was taking a exit ramp off in Brooklyn when I was living in Brooklyn. I'm taking the exit ramp, and I'm just cruising, and my wife's time had a convertible. And a truck next to me blew a tire.
Right.
And just like, no snowball hit me, but the sound from that tire, I jerked over in Thailand. I'm like, I thought it was an explosion. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I was yelling at the top of my, just because of that
yeah.
that noise. So if you're getting hit in the side with snowballs.
Yeah, you have no idea it's coming.
No.
Dude, blown tire will tear the sheet metal off your car at that speed. That shit'll, you're
oh,
lucky
yeah,
it didn't
well,
blow
none of that
out
happened.
To you.
No, but it scared the shit out
we,
of me.
We used to play behind, our house, one of these houses we had was, they had woods, a patch of woods, area of woods. So every winter we would go back and we'd play whatever, capture the flag. But we went, you know, hardcore with it. We would get you, we would tie your ass up and we would just hold you until we could get your fucking flag. So we're playing one time, my brother's on the other team and we catch him and we tie him to a tree. And then we go over to there's a hill. We go over to the road, and we're just bombing cars as they're coming by. Bam, bam. And we hit this one guy in a pickup truck.
Oh, man.
And he locked him up, and he pulled over, and he was that guy. He got out. We're like, holy shit. What the fuck? This guy's got, there's like four of us, and he didn't give a fuck. He's coming right at us. We're like, oh, shit. So we run, and we hide. We hide, and my brother is sitting down, tied to a tree, completely tied. This guy comes up, and he's like, you little punk fucker threw the snowball on me. My brother's like, asshole, I am tied right. to a tree right now. And we're all hidden, knowing he can't see us at all. And he's just standing in front of my brother talking shit to him. Packs a snowball. My brother's like, my hands are, look behind me. Go behind me. I'm not fit. And the guy just fucking guns it and hits my brother right in the fucking face. And we're watching. We're like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and he so went back down his car and drove away. And my brother's like, fuck you. We're like 13. He's like, fuck you, asshole. We're like, boom, that's what you get there.
Because you always get that, you know, every like fourth car you hit, someone would come out.
There's a lunatic
and run
yeah.
after you. Always, yeah. We always knew where to go. Like there was woods back there.
Yeah.
We knew how far to run
and you're
where
laughing,
to hide.
Running.
Of course.
Oh, it's the best
it
high.
It was the greatest
That was
feel.
The best high to me ever.
Yeah.
yeah. Like, oh my God, he's coming. He's coming, man. We used to sneak out at night, and every car was a cop. You know what I mean? Like, it's a fucking cop. That's a cop. And even if it wasn't, if you said it, I was fucking running.
Yeah.
Right.
I was always running.
Jumping over hedges just to get out of the way, because any headlight, you're like fucked. Especially, yeah. I grew up in a small town. Is it a small town?
Yeah, pretty small.
Everyone knew everybody. So, like, I remember I snuck out one time to meet Gene Cassisio, and every...
I love it. You draw.
Every single every car that came by, I ducked. And, like, there was no cell phones. I couldn't text. Be like, you here. You know what
right,
I mean? It's
yeah.
just like, you showed up at Central School, and if she was there, she was there. And she wasn't.
Bitch.
Was long
Still thinking
home.
About it?
Nah, I'm over it.
We used to sneak out if there wasn't a house to have a party, it was a field party. We just go find a fucking cornfield and just go to the back and just sit there and drink, sneak out. I'm sure I've repeated myself a lot, but there was one night. So when you're a twin, you got to fucking share the car when you're 16. You get it one weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And the fucking idiot brother gets it the next weekend. So we're sleeping one night. I want to say it's a Saturday night. And my father was worked at the, now it's Ronald Reagan Airport, but back then it was National Airport in D.C. And we lived in Maryland. So he's got a 1 hour commute each way. And he's going to go do a graveyard shift for a few extra bucks. And he's like, I'm leaving. So I'm asleep. And I don't know what the fuck's going on. I just hear my dad yelling and shit. And he's like, you stupid son of a bitch. What happened was my father left to go to work. And my brother, it was like 1:30 in the morning, took the station wagon. I mean, like 30 seconds after my father left and was leaving. And my dad, when he got to the top of the hill, he was like, oh, shit, I forgot my wallet. He U-turns and he's passing my brother in his other car, and he's like, what the fuck? And he's like, get the fuck back in the house. I just hear him start yelling, you stupid, you can't wait 30 fucking minutes? You can't wait 30 minutes? I mean, I forgot my goddamn wallet. You're a fucking idiot. You know what? Ryan gets the car 2 weekends. I'm in bed. Just like, boom, right there it is, motherfucker.
Nice. Well, I remember I did have to share a car with my sister. She was like a year younger than me. So she would try to come to work and pick it up. And then I have to get a ride home. Like, fuck that. I want to go out with my friends afterwards. We're making plans. So I would fucking disconnect one of the battery cables so the car wouldn't start.
Shut up.
So her
That's
friend
money.
Would drive her there. Yeah. And then she'd get the keys and get in there. And nothing would just. And she'd That's come into great. My work. I was like a dishwasher. She's like, the car doesn't work. I'm like, yeah, it's been acting up lately. She's like, well, how are you going to get home? I go, there's a mechanic here. He'll probably have to look at it. I don't know. She's like, you don't. Was it working before? I'm like, yeah, I drove it here. I don't know what's going on. But meanwhile, I'm like, fuck that. Yeah. You're not taking the car.
Pour some coke That's on awesome. It.
Yeah.
What was your first car?
It was like a Chevy Malibu. It was orange with no bumper in the front.
Nice.
It was no bumper.
No, no 2x4. You didn't replace it with like a 2x4?
No, it wasn't even 2x4. It was just no bumper at all. It was $300 the car cost.
Hell yeah.
And there was and
$1,200 radio.
No, the radio. Yeah. I didn't even put the radio in. I didn't even have. There was a little, you know, local.
Throw a little boom box on the seat.
The AM only yeah. radio.
But there was. I remember the front. The passenger side front was rotting out on the floor, mm-hmm. the metal, so there was a hole there. So, and we used to just drive around with beers. So we used to just get like a case of beer and like five of us, and we'd just drive around and fucking just, you know, whatever. So at one point, the hole was only like maybe the size of a softball. My friend in the front's like, I got to take a piss. And I'm like, I'm not stopping because we were driving around.
Yes.
So he just starts kicking the hole, making it bigger. So then he would just go, all right, fuck it. I'm just pissing out the hole. I go, then do that. So that was so we drive around. We wouldn't have to stop. So whoever had a piss would climb into the passenger seat front and just whiz as we're driving, just piss out that hole.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. So all that, if I
You're
took a date out.
You're sitting on a gold mine.
Yeah, it was great.
Quarantine.
And then we throw the empty cans out the hole too.
Hell yeah.
In case a cop pulled us over. It wasn't like there wasn't 13 empties.
Piss and beer just poured out the back of that car.
Yeah, and then the empties we just chuck as we're driving, just right out the hole. Because if we got pulled over and it was only 8 beers, like, no, we didn't even drink any yet. We're going to a party now.
Bush lights all over the freeway.
And then if I had a date, I'd put a fucking little piece of wood. I had a piece of wood over the hole. So she wouldn't see.
Class
when she
it
got
up a little
yeah.
bit.
Unless
yeah,
you need to take a leak. And you're like,
yeah.
Oh, just sit over the side.
Yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, there's piss all over the seat because all my friends were, you know,
yeah,
hammered and stuff. And of course, I'm hitting, you know, hitting every pothole when they're trying to piss. And he's like, "It's going on your fucking dashboard." I'm like, "I don't care. Yeah. It's still funny. I don't care. What do I don't sit?
It cost
in that
me $300. I lost that in a poker game Friday.
I don't sit in that seat. What do I give a shit?"
That is fucking, man, I really feel like there's a monumental financial opportunity for you in figuring out a way. I was just driving home the other day, and I don't know what the fuck happened here. It was 2 hours it took me to get home, and I had to piss, and I had a cup in the car, and I just took a piss right in the cup on the freeway. I was like, shit, but if I could have just peed right through a hole in the floor, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, that would
pull over on the shoulder and do it safely. You know,
I've been doing that
be
for
crazy.
Years. Yeah, but now, yeah, I moved up to the no hole, but like a Gatorade bottle.
Yeah, Gatorade, but it's got that wide mouth.
You
got to
get the dark one, though,
yeah.
You know, because you don't want it the clear one, because then if this pisses in it, yeah. People are like, oh, what the fuck? So you get the dark one, they don't even know. You put it under the passenger seat, like in the back part.
For.
I am one
reusable.
Yeah, it's reusable.
Reuse
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
That's a toilet.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an emergency toilet.
Yeah, you get the wide one. Not that I got girth, but you just don't want to have the small one.
No.
Sometimes the helmet, you know.
You don't need a challenge.
Right. Yeah.
No. Not while you're
air,
driving.
You know, when you try to put your helmet in the air, fucking lets out and stuff, and then all of a sudden your dick flies out and it goes all over. I've had that.
Yeah.
You got to do it on the side if you're going to piss, too. You can't do it as you're driving like this, like in front of you. You have to lean over.
Yeah, you got to tilt.
As you're driving, because if you don't, if you do it straight on, it doesn't get all the piss out. There's still some in there. So when you think you're done and you pull the cup away, it goes all over. You got another squirt in there.
It's true. It's one in the chamber.
There's one in the chamber.
You think you tuck it up, and then next thing you know, your jeans are wet, and you're like, God damn it.
I had a date one time, like I fucking pissed in a bottle, and it was the clear Gator. I think that's when I learned my lesson. It was a clear bottle, and I forgot it was in the under the passenger seat, and it was like half full of piss. And I was on a date, and I had to stop short, and it fucking rolled right under her feet.
Shut up.
Yeah,
and the wood was there, man.
If
the wood wasn't there, you'd have been all set. Like, I got that.
Kick that piece of plywood to the side, girl.
That was my second car, so it didn't have the hole. And it fucking, she's like, "What is this Gatorade?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "No, this is piss. Is this urine in here?" And I'm like, "My brother borrowed my car yesterday. He must have did that.
Yeah.
You know." And she didn't fucking buy it, but it rolled right under her feet. I'm like, "Oh shit," because it was all foamy too, so you could tell it wasn't Gatorade.
Of course,
yeah.
You could
especially
tell
when it was rolling around. You know, it gets that foam going.
She's like, "You got to drink more water. This is yellow."
And I think I took vitamins that day, so it was extra. You know, it wasn't even clear.
It's bloody, bloody piss. She's like, "God damn it, what is this guy into?"
Gatorade makes a frappuccino now. Yeah, I always keep a reserve in there, man. I've even been considering keeping like a shit kit in the car, like just a pair of sweatpants, maybe a pair of boxers and some fucking flip-flops. In case I shit myself, I can just bam.
That's a good idea. Get baby wipes. Yeah, like a trial pack.
That's it. A little travel pack of baby wipes, a pair of sweatpants, a pair of boxers, maybe some like Adidas flops.
What's happening? What's happening here? I mean, it's a good idea, but don't you just go to the bathroom before you need to go somewhere?
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, I like spicy food. So sometimes it catches me off guard and I'm like, damn, shouldn't have did that today.
Yeah.
Right, and if you're stuck in traffic or something and you can't. Yeah.
That's a great example. That fucking 2-hour ride the other day, I'm glad I only had to take a piss, because if I would have had to take a shit, I would have been in real trouble.
Yeah.
It would have been real trouble, yeah. I've been there before, man. That's no joke. I thought I was doing 90 in a Honda Civic shooting across the 101 trying to make it home before I shit myself, because there was nowhere to pull over to do it.
Really?
Just wasn't happening. I was standing. Like this with the fucking pedal
in the
to the
Civic.
Floor.
Oh, right,
the
yeah.
Civic. Yeah. Just doing everything I could to hold that, man. I made it. I'm proud to say I've never actually full on shit myself.
I never have.
I haven't either.
No.
I mean, but you know, you've done so many goddamn pranks in your life, you know?
Right.
Right, growing up. Like, were you pranking your family all the time as a kid? Or, you know, because how was that going?
I remember going to, like in high school, like sophomore year, like the nerds would have a party, their parents would be away. So, like, you know, they always thought we were dicks because we were like the burnouts. We were the guys with the Black Sabbath, AC/DC shirt, smoking pot, smoking cigarettes. And, you know, so we knew there was a party in the neighborhood.
They have patches on their denim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have the Iron Maiden or the, you know, the Blizzard of Oz in the back. So we'd go to the party, of course, you know, not invited, and just walk in. And I remember they had Goldfish. They were all sitting, they were playing like a video game or some fucking, you know, just with no beer. It was all sold out and popcorn. And we walked in. They had a fish tank. The people had a fish tank, and it was like 6 or 7 goldfish in there. We were all drunk, and we just one of our friends just put his hand in there and started get one of the goldfish. He got one, and he fucking just ate it in front of everybody. So then we all just stuck our hands in, and got every goldfish and ate them right in front of him, and just left.
That was it.
And then we're out of here. You were in there for like 10 minutes.
That's hilarious.
Yeah,
not one fish left. God.
Not one fish. Yeah. And then another time we went to another party and we took Upper Deckers. I don't know if you guys know what an Upper Decker is.
Yeah, 7-Eleven.
You shit in the top of the tank. Yeah.
Oh. I thought you meant the pills.
When you go on the top of the tank in the toilet. So this was a rich neighborhood where the neighborhood over was a real rich neighborhood. So they had like 4 different bathrooms in there. So we'd make sure everybody had a shit. Like, all right, come on. And we just go, oh, we got to use your bathroom. And everyone, we take an Upper Decker. All right, we're going to go. Party's boring.
Get a bounce.
And then they wouldn't find it for like 2 weeks, because you don't even find it until you flush, because then little pieces of shit come down.
Right. Upper Deckers are this guy, dead fish.
Oh, yeah.
Rotten apples.
What? I know you have like 5 CDs of pranks, DVDs. I mean, what got you... Well, first of all, what got you started? And secondly, I want to know what some of your favorites are. I know you got to have some personal favorites.
Well, we did the Upper Decker one on a DVD and a hidden camera DVD. Yeah, me and my guy do the DVDs with Don Jameson as a comic. We went to like a cheap motel, $25 for friggin' 4 hours. Lincoln Tunnel Motel. It's right outside the
Lincoln Tunnel.
It's right outside the Lincoln Tunnel in Jersey. So all the truckers go there and they bring prostitutes there. Right. People cheating on their wives, whatever. Go. So we got a room. I go in there and I take an Upper Decker and I call the front desk and this Indian guy. I go, hey man. I go, something's wrong with this toilet. He's like, what are you talking about? I go, yeah, you better come down here and check it out. So now he's like, he's looking at it and he's flushing a bowl and a little piece of shit are coming down because it's in the top of the tank. Mm-hmm. And he's like plunging and he's like, what the hell's going on here? And we're just, yeah, I don't know what happened. And then suddenly lifts the top of the tank. He sees all the shit. He's like, oh, just change rooms. Go give me a different room. Like, what happened? He goes, oh, somebody did something bad in there. Just go in another room.
Something bad, yeah.
Can't believe the $25 4 hour.
Yeah, there's someone shit in the top of the tank. So as soon as he gets us to the other room, here's the key. Sorry about that. Like, yeah, no problem. My other buddy, Don Jameson, we held him in. We made sure we drank like protein shakes before.
Yeah.
You know, we had a whole pre-thing. So he goes in. As soon as we get in there, he takes an Upper Decker. And we call the guy fucking not even 3 minutes later. Hey, something's wrong with this toilet. He comes right down. He goes right to the tank. He lifts it up. And then he realized it was us and fucking throws us out. Starts screaming
at us.
He's
like, this is fresh.
Yeah, he knew. Yeah, he was on to us at that point.
Put a thermometer in. Like, nah, this is 98.6 right here, man.
But I remember my manager at the time, like, I showed him, like, he's like, dude, he goes, you can't put this out. He goes, you can't have this out there. I'm like, why? He goes, you'll never get a leading role in a movie if you're, because we actually show us shitting. Like, I'm sitting on top of the tank and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't care. And he's like, no, seriously, you're not going to get a role if this is out there. I'm like, I don't care. It's fucking funny. And we did. And meanwhile, Johnny Knoxville, two years later, is in a
Dukes
fucking
Porta
John and all that other shit. Yeah, exactly. He's walking red carpets. Yeah.
You can too shit in public and still be in a movie.
So that was one of my favorite ones. There was another one where we went to a graveyard and we took flowers off the grave. Mm-hmm. And then we filmed it, giving it to our girlfriends at the time. Right, we just said with a hidden camera. They had no idea. So we just said, "Hey, here's some. We got you some flowers." Oh, you know, we got the reaction. Thank you. You know, okay, no problem. So then, what we did is we edited it, and then like 2 weeks later, we sat him down with our other buddy who had the hidden camera. We go, "Hey, we want to show you some of the stuff that we're shooting for our hidden camera stuff." So he put that bit on of us pulling into a fucking graveyard and go, "All right, we're going to hell for this." Pulling flowers off, and all of a sudden we cut to them giving them to him. They had no idea they were being filmed.
Yeah,
my chick thought it was funny because she had a sick sense of humor. Yeah. Jameson's chick fucking actually broke up with him because of it.
No way,
she
really?
Flipped out. She's like, "That's you put evil spirits in my house. How could you?" That went fucking crazy.
Maybe she
had him, and she goes, "I've had him in the vase in the kitchen for like 2 weeks.
No,
and you took him off a grave." She fucking flipped. And
someone cared enough to give flowers to that deceased person. Those are flowers of love. She made the wrong decision.
Yeah, but the ghost, she's saying like the dead body's like, "Give those damn flowers."
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like, give me my motherfucking flowers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that was definitely a low moment in my life.
Yeah,
broke up with him.
Yeah, I mean, they were on the rocks, but that pretty much sealed it. And she wouldn't even give us a release for it. She was so pissed.
Oh,
I had to go into work like 2 months later. I'm like, come on. I go, you barely even see you. It's funny. And she finally did, but she was that fucking mad. She's like, I don't want people knowing that it happened to me. I'm like, that's funny.
Because
you know how we would get the releases? We'd have a hot chick with us. We'd have a fucking 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10, a blonde.
Yeah.
And
a blonde.
We'd send the fucking blonde into the Indian guy that we just fucking ruined two of his toilets. Oh, come on. They're funny. You're going to be the star of this. Come on. I bartend in a place right down the road. You should come by and have a drink. I'll buy you a drink. Real. And just start flirting with them. And they would always sign. Always.
The chicks, man.
Because Jameson used to work for Tom Green. Remember Tom Green?
Yeah.
Back in the MTV. He'd just pull that crazy shit. So that's what they do at MTV. They'd send the hot chick in the store he just fucked with and said, oh, come on, you know, and flirt with the guy. Just sign. And every guy's like, all right, you know, and make up shit, whatever they want to hear, and then we get the release.
Oh, man. Were you doing pranks in, like, high school and college and shit? Like, before you recorded them, were you, like, what was you finally like, we got to fucking do this? Telemarketers? Is that what it started with?
That stuff, yeah. I mean, we dropped stink bombs. We were big stink bomb guys.
And where? Like,
in
the school?
In high school, high school, yeah, absolutely.
I knew that,
college. Yeah, the ones in the glass tubes.
It would be almost like... Like a threat, like, dude, someone dropped a stink bomb around chem class. Don't even go over there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, people like quarantined. Like, you wouldn't even go near it.
Yeah.
I mean, I got my nephew was like in eighth grade, and I was telling him we should drop these stink bombs and stuff like that. And he went into my room one night when I wasn't home and took like four boxes of them, and him and his friends went on a fucking a spree at school and just fucking ran through the hallways and opened doors and threw them in like seven different rooms. I got suspended for like 10 days.
My sister
called me up fucking screaming at me. That you? What'd you teach my son? I'm like, what are you talking? She goes, and he got suspended. They all got suspended for 10 days. They threw him in. They just fucking went crazy, and just opened doors in the middle of class and fucking started firing them in there
while there was class going on.
Yeah, while there was class going on, and then shut the door and fucking ran to the next one and did.
Then
yeah,
trapped them in there, like held the door.
And they were all my stink bombs. She's like, the cops want to talk to you. I'm like, I'm a fucking cop.
Well, see, that's what I was getting ready to say today. Like back then, it was no big deal, yeah, but I bet you today they were probably worried there was some kind of fucking explosive or some shit.
Well, first of all. If a couple kids opened the door and started throwing
anything,
stuff in, you would freak the hell out nowadays. Anything.
This is, you know, before 9/11, so, but yeah, but it was, damn. Yeah, 10 days there. And he was like,
that's
a
long
student.
Time.
It's like, it didn't ever expect
10 days. Yeah,
he was not allowed to walk across stage
weeks.
When he graduated. That's a long fucking time, man. That's a half
that's
a
worth
month.
It.
She chewed your ass
yeah,
out.
She was, yeah, she was pissed. Yeah. The kid never got in trouble.
And how old were you?
Never. I was, you know, 30.
30 boxes of stink bombs.
Of course, yeah. I'd still carry them if it wasn't a problem, if I wouldn't go
a
to
problem.
Fucking... Because if I drop one now, I'd probably be on TMZ.
Yeah,
you know,
they're all over your
it could have been fucking, you know, some mustard gas or something.
Oh, exactly. God.
From my, that like, I got from Iraq.
Yeah. Go through airport security.
One of the most fucked up stories, my brother used to buy these old houses, right? And we'd fix them up and sell them. So I was just, you know, to help her. I'd fucking clean the garbage, whatever. So there was this little pantry part. He goes, you know what? Let's just put some sheetrock over it and close it up because it doesn't look weird in the kitchen. So before they closed it up, I fucking wrote on the wall, like just a sheetrock wall. I go, hey, and I put like a date like 2 years before. I'm like, hey, I used to live in this house with my grandmother. I used to live in this house with my grandmother, and she was really sick, and I couldn't afford to pay for her medicine anymore, and she was in a lot of pain, so I wind up killing her. I wind up strangling her, and it was this crawl space under the house. I go, I wind up burying her. I know, under the crawl space in the house, and I just want to say, if anyone finds this someday, could you please give it a right burial, because I couldn't afford it, and I feel bad that I did this, but I needed to be out of pain. I care for that much.
Oh, my
Thank
God.
You, and I just fucking put the date on
you.
It. And I actually went under the crawl space and put like a cross, so fucking made it out of wood, and put a cross like all the way
so
in a corner.
Fucked.
Isn't that so? 2 years later, this is when I'm living back. I'm living down.
Please,
in Florida.
You got it. You have a result to this.
2 years later,
yes.
I moved down to Florida again for like a year, whatever. Just in my like, I'm around 21. My brother calls me up and he goes, hey, remember that? Because I told my brother, he's like, that's fucked up. Why would you do that? I'm like, I don't know. I'm just being an idiot. He goes, all right, whatever. 2 years later, some guy, my brother sold the house like 6 months later. Mm-hmm. A year and a half later, someone else buys it. The guy decides to open that wall up for some reason, finds that.
Who doesn't want a pantry, man?
Right? I know. I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know. But the person, so he finds it. So he cuts the piece of sheetrock out and brings it to the local police station.
Oh,
and goes,
shit.
This is what I found on a wall. So now the fucking cops start sending people down to the house. They're trying to track the sheetrock. I guess the date was on it or where it was bought. Somehow they traced the sheetrock that it was bought like 2.5 years ago in a Home Depot. I don't know how they got it, but it came back to my brother who owned the house two people before. And he's like, and he
Florentine, it just got the stink bombs.
Well, they knocked on my mom's door, my parents' door.
Holy
like,
shit.
Like four cop cars came from one
all
one.
From fucking being able to date sheetrock.
Yeah, well, they had, and plus they had people starting to dig under the house because they said we found
they lifted the house. Imagine that they lift home.
They had people down there, so they
cross,
got my brother
right?
on the phone and they talked to my brother. Goes, look, we got this piece of shit. We traced it back to you. You own the house and whatever. And he goes, what's going on here? He goes, you know, is this? And my brother's like, I don't know. He goes, I had a bunch of workers that maybe it was a prank. They're like, oh, a prank? Who would do something like that? Give me every name of every worker. You know what I mean? That worked there. We need to question everybody. He's like, look, man, I think it was one of my guys. I don't even know who worked for me. So he covered for me. And then he goes, look, it definitely was. There was a bunch of pranks. They used to do that shit. So they stopped digging. But my brother tried to fuck with me, and he called me when I'm living down in Florida. He goes, dude, we got a problem. I'm like, what? He goes, remember that thing you put on that wall in that house in Long Branch, New Jersey? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, the cops found it, and they think that there's somebody dead under the house, and they're digging under the house, and I had to give him your name. I'm like, what the fuck did you give my name for? He's like, dude, they're going to throw me in jail, and he just had a baby. He goes, dude, I just had a baby. He's like, I can't go to jail
if
for
someone's
you.
Going,
yeah, for you.
And I'm like, why couldn't you just say it was one of the other guys? He goes, they said they were going to throw me in jail, and I know. And I'm like, you got, he goes, yeah, so they want you to either fly back to New Jersey or go to the local Fort Lauderdale police and talk to them. I'm like, dude, I'm not fucking going there. And he's like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm like, what the fuck? What's wrong? And then he goes, I'm fucking with you. And then he told me, yeah, I just told him it was some fucking prank.
Oh my God, that's epic.
I know, like, seriously, I mean, that's like a fucking evil mind to do something that like
is. That. You're fucked.
And actually crawl, I went all the way in a corner, so it wasn't even like the front of the crawl space.
Yeah, you worked
I went all the way in the back and made a cross with a fucking, put a couple nails in it and stuck it in the ground.
Yeah.
And they were starting to dig until I got my brother on the phone.
They're digging.
They're bringing backhoes in. Is that fucking awesome?
They needed a crew. That is hilarious.
There four cop cars come to my parents' house. They're like, what the fuck is going on? Well, we knew Joe Florentine. He's like, oh, he's not here. And they fucking, my brother, he lives down there. And then they wound up calling him and shit.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious. I loved it with just 2 years you got a result. Because that's something you were like, yes, someone's eventually going to see that.
Right.
But that could have been 40 fucking years down the road. 40,
yeah, and yeah. I wrote in a black magic marker, a Sharpie. On the sheetrock, like the gray sheetrock, so it wasn't going to fade or anything.
See, that's why I'll never kill someone. I had no idea you could date sheetrock. And
somehow, yeah, they
trace
found out
it to who made the fucking purchase.
When it was purchased, they found out when it was what year it was purchased, 2 years before, and then they looked in records and found out that my brother owned the house then. Because the guy originally went after the guy that sold it to him. The guy's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't know.
You know what?
So, he must have been freaking out, too. Yeah, if he'd ever heard the end, he's like, I mean, I was living above a dead woman.
Yeah.
For years.
You know, what I love is that you said you killed her, but then you just wanted someone to give her a
nice burial. You know what I mean? Like,
killed her, but somebody treat this dead lady nice.
I was like, she was in a lot of pain. I couldn't afford her medication anymore. So
strangled.
I had to put her out of misery.
You did strangled. Say strangled on it?
Yeah, I said strangled her.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. How he did it and everything. Probably got handprints down there. If there's any skin left, there's not. There's not. That is fucking
tried
out
for
of
murder.
Control,
you get
man.
Tried for murder.
Out of control.
Well, that happened with a prank call. So, you know, cut to, I don't know, 10 years ago, my credit card call, because I would fuck with telemarketers. Yeah. I would just wait for telemarketers to call, and I would just screw around with them. So this credit card, my credit card company calls me up, and they said, hey, you know, we're doing this offer. We can transfer like $5,000 into your from your credit card into your bank account. You know, they run some special. I'm like, yeah, what? I'm like, oh, really? And I'm just listening to it. And I'm trying to figure out what I want to do. You know, ad lib the call. So I go, oh, you know what? She goes, maybe something came up. You need some money. I go, you know what? Actually, I do, because I just hit this old woman with my car the other day, and she's in the hospital. I got to pay her medical bills. And she's like, okay. I'm like, yeah. I go, you know what? So that should be good. I go, so tell me about this thing. And I'm like, and meanwhile, she's just pitching me. And I go, yeah, you know what? I actually went to the hospital. I feel bad because I went to the hospital the other day, and I actually visited her, and I knocked out her teeth, so she's going to need some new teeth. I crushed her colostomy bag. I was, you know, her walker. How much is a walker? And she's like, I don't know. I go, because I got to pay for a walker. I crushed that with the car. And she's like,
I did take her flowers from the cemetery, though.
Yeah, I'm like, how much are diapers? I go, I think she wears diapers too, so I'm gonna have to get the pens. So the woman's actually, well, the diapers are probably like $35.
Trying
box.
To make this,
yeah. So
I go,
maybe.
Have it,
so
yeah.
I'm gonna probably need about
there.
5 boxes. So I'll need that, and a walker's gonna be what, like $700? She goes, well, a good walker's probably gonna be all right, $700. You know what? This will work out. So he goes, okay, well, give me your account number. So now I gotta get out of this.
Yeah.
So I'm like, fuck, I'm not gonna give my. So I go. You know what? I go, let me just go to the hospital and kill her. She's like, what? Excuse me? I go, look, I'll just go to the hospital. I'll go smother with a pillow, and then call me back in like an hour. We can talk about this.
I know, right?
I gotta go. I gotta go. No, seriously, just call me back. I gotta go. Bye. Click. Now, I'm fucking retard. Me doesn't realize that she has my address.
Recorded
everything.
Recorded. It has my address right in front of me. It's my credit card company. This isn't just a unsolicited call.
Right. Yeah.
It's fucking like 20 minutes. 20 minutes later, I got two detectives knocking on my door.
Get the fuck out!
Never been arrested. Had cops show up for him twice so far.
So they go, Mr. Florentine. I'm like, yeah. They go, can we come in? I'm like. He goes, you know what this is about? I go, yeah, go look, dude. I was just messing around. He goes, can we come in? I'm like, yeah. So they come on. They go, all right, what's going on here? I go, look, man, I'm a comedian. I go, look, I got this thing. It's hooked up to my phone. I go, I work at the show called Crank Anchors. I don't know if you ever heard of it. And the guy's like, no, what are you talking about? I go,
you're like,
we make prank phone calls. we make prank phone calls. Like, no. I'm like, and And the other guy's like walking by me, and I'm like, "Where are you going, sir?" And he's like, "What do you mean, where I'm going?" He goes, "Don't worry about it." He goes, "I'm looking in, I'm checking around." I go, "Checking around for what?" He goes, "For a dead body." I go, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Because you just said you're going to go down there and kill somebody." So they're looking in, and Jim Norton was with me at the time. They're in Norton's room, looking in every room and in the closets and stuff, thinking I have a dead body in the house because I said I'm going to kill some old lady. I'm like, "I was just a fucking prank. Here's my recorder, it's hooked up to the phone. I'm like crank anchor. See this fucking? I have a picture." I'm like, "I work on the show." And they go, "Look, I'm just telling you right now, if there's a person missing, an old person missing, you're a fucking suspect, and you're coming, and we're coming back you." I'm like, I swear to God, I'll play you back the call. It's a fucking prank." And then finally they go, "You know, just stop it. Just fucking, how old are you?" I'm like, "I'm 35. Look, just let it go. Stop doing this." Like, "All right, fine, man. I was just messing around." He goes,
"Stop doing this.
We don't ever want to come back here again." I go, "Believe me, I'm sorry. Thank you for giving me a break. You'll never come back. I'm sorry."
Let me get back on the phone and do a prank.
No, but so, all right, so let me continue. So two weeks later, for some reason, I don't know what I'm thinking, that the cops aren't going to show up for this one. I have a neat idea.
For this one.
To pretend I'm giving my girlfriend an abortion as a telemarketer's calling. So I got my buddy Chuck there, and I got my girlfriend there. So,
and you're on crank anchors at this time.
Yeah, I'm on crank anchors. So this woman calls, and all of a sudden you hear. I didn't tell my girlfriend what it was because she would have flipped. She would have said, "No way, I'm not doing this." So I said, when they pick up the phone, just scream the whole time like you're in pain. She's like, "Why?" I go, "No, it's going to be funny." Yeah, you know, I didn't want to tell. So screaming's going on. My buddy's yelling, "All right, don't worry, I got it." Yeah. She's like, "What's going on?" I go, "My friend just gave my girlfriend an abortion." She's like, "What?" I go, "Yeah." She goes, "Where are you?" I go, "I'm in my house. You just called my house." She's like, I go, "Yeah." I go, "I can't afford it. It's around the holidays." So he said, I go, $350. I go, "He said he'd knock it out for like $40. He's got a tool chest. He said he knows what he's doing. I'm sorry, I trust him." And she's screaming. He's like, "All right, I just pulled an arm out. What do you want me to do?" And I'm like, "Just put it in the garbage over there. All right." It's like, I'm going to go. I go, no, don't worry. She winds up hanging up in like 30 seconds. Another one. She has my number.
Yeah.
Fucking, I leave afterwards. I tell my girlfriend's like, you what an asshole you are. We go to like fucking Starbucks, me and my buddy Chuck, to talk about it, laughing, right? I come back like an hour later, fucking my door is busted in.
Whoa.
All the neighbors around the house, and I come in, there's fucking wood all over the place. My neighbors downstairs, I lived upstairs. I go, "What's going on?" He goes, "The cops are here." I go, "For what?" He goes, "There was a 911 call. They were looking for you. And no one was here, so they kicked down the door." I'm like, "They kicked in the door?" They're like, "Yeah."
I love that you still get surprised.
Yeah, like, what are they?
What
did I do?
And then I'm like, "Oh, shit." All right.
Oh, yeah, the abortion we just did on the bus.
The abortion. Shit. So I go. I said, "You know what? I better go down to the police station. It's right down the road. Just straighten this out." I walk in. It's the same two cops.
No way.
Same two guys. Like, "Are you fucking kidding me?" And I'm like, "What? I was a joke." He goes, "You're giving your girlfriend an abortion, and you don't think there's a problem with that?" I'm like, I guess. Because what that happened was the lady called, so they sent like three cop cars and ambulance. They're doing like 70 miles an hour and like a 25 to get to my house, mm-hmm. And they're knocking, and they fucking kicked the door in. And the cops are like, it could be a prank because we were here a couple weeks ago, but we got to check anyway. So they fucking knocked the door. They didn't know if someone was bleeding up there. I had to go to court. I was facing 6 months in jail.
Get the fuck out. Because
they gave me a disorderly conduct ticket. And they said, "You realize if that ambulance or one of the cop cars would have hit somebody driving there," he goes, "you would have been up for a fucking, you know, accessory to murder or something like that." I'm like, "Yeah, but I didn't tell you guys to come. The lady believed it." I go, "You know, I mean, it's her
fucking
fault.
I'm doing a good job over here. What do you want?
I'm a good
crushing
actor
over here."
So I had to get a lawyer, and I'm in a court. I had to go to fucking court for it. And a judge fucking explains the whole thing in front of a packed courthouse. I was like
exactly,
the first one.
Dude.
And he's like, "You did a prank phone call where you pretend, your friend pretend, they thought it was Norton because he was living with me."
Oh, okay.
And it wasn't. Where your roommate, James Norton, was pretending to give your girlfriend an abortion. And we had a vacuum going on, too. And you had a vacuum. He's playing the whole thing, and you could hear the whole courtroom go, "Oh," the groans I was getting from the whole courtroom.
You're
I'm standing
guy.
Up there, and I'm biting my lip. He's like, "And you think this is funny? Like, you're a comedian, right?" I go, "You're a professional." I go, "Yeah." "And you think that's funny? Seriously, do you think that's funny?" I'm like, "No, I don't think it was funny." Meanwhile, I was like a little kid. I wanted to fucking laugh.
Hell
face.
Yeah,
so bad. And he goes, "All right, you know, $350 fine." and just go pay on the way out. I never want to see you back in this corner. And I had to walk like the fucking walk of shame through everybody in that corner. Right. Just looking at me, you fucking piece of shit.
Should have dropped a couple stink bombs on the way out.
I should have.
You know what I mean?
And then once I got out there, I was almost like Rocky on the top of the steps. Like, yes! What a fucking great story I could tell the grandkids.
Oh, yeah.
You won.
Time and legal system.
I still have the ticket. I framed it on my wall.
You do?
Yeah. The whole thing, I got it. Yeah, I put it in a frame. It's on my wall.
Did that one ever make the air?
No, I couldn't because they had lawyers come and sending me letters. I put the lawyer's letter up there, too. We want all the tapes from this call, and I said I threw it right out. Meanwhile, I still have it somewhere. The audio wasn't right. We didn't rehearse it. She was too loud. He was too loud. Like, it was just too much going on.
Yeah,
so we should have did a dry run. But I couldn't tell her. We should have done a dry. The vacuum was a little too loud. Like, it needed to be in the other room.
Yeah.
So it fucked up the audio. Yeah. I wasn't looking at the levels.
It wasn't the levels, he said. I mean, if you're doing a black market abortion, you got to get it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's too loud, man. She doesn't have twins.
Hilarious. Well, Jim, thank you for coming and doing this. That's all the time we have, man. I can't tell you how glad we were to have you on, man. It's a pleasure. If you wouldn't mind one more time with your Twitter and all that for everybody.
Yeah, Mr. Jim Florentine, and my podcast is Comedy Metal Midgets. I do it once a week. It's and on iTunes and all that shit.
Your VH1 show?
That Metal Show. That it's metal on VH1 show. Classic. Yeah. We interview, you know.
Yeah, check those out for sure.
New season starts June 1st, and you know it's basically like the Tonight Show for AC/DC fans.
That's what I yes, that's exactly
perfect.
What I said
perfect. Jay Larson Comedy on Twitter, Jay Larson Comedy everywhere else.
I'm Ryan Sickler on Twitter, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.